Imagine for a moment that you lived in a world in which the KGB never officially existed and the European Union always did. Because you see, if you're an entering freshman this year in college, that's the world you lived in. Each year, Benoit College compiles this list of things that if you're an entering freshman, you did know and you never knew. Bud Selig was always the baseball commissioner. Woody Allen was always married to Sunyi Previn. You don't know that this means what time is it? Britney Spears is played on classic rock. And you've lived in a world in which we have always traded with the country of Vietnam. Part of the responsibility of people whose memories stretch a little bit longer is themselves to be witnesses and to train those after them to be witnesses. To remember what Faulkner said, the great American writer who chronicled the agony of the American South, when he said, "The past is never dead, it's not even past." So for those of you who don't remember, let me remind you that it was 37 years ago that the state of Israel was almost destroyed. That if you read the history of the 1973 Yom Kippur War, we came very close. It wasn't theoretical. It was a matter of hours or of days. And it was a combination of two things: hatred from without and arrogance from within. And it is the task of the Jews to be witnesses. And we are witnesses in three different circles, and sometimes you will find Jews who'll be witness to one or the other, but they don't want to do all three because it makes them uncomfortable. The first is we must be witnesses against ourselves. That's why we're here this morning. To say, I have done this wrong. My life is steeped in material and I don't live beyond myself. Second, we must be witnesses against the world as it relates to the Jews. And third, we must be witnesses to the tragedies of the world itself. Let's start with the first circle. There's a lot that is wrong in the state of Israel. There is a problem when the leader of the Shas party and one of the most learned and respected rabbis in the world, Ovadia Yosef, calls for the death of the leader of the Palestinian Authority and goes on to say, and death to all the Palestinians. There's something wrong when people in Israel forget that the mission of the state was to save and nurture the Jewish people, not to ensure that every bit of land would be redeemed under Jewish sovereignty. And therefore, to forget that Jews have a right to express their Judaism there. There's something wrong in a land where when a woman takes a Torah near the Western Wall, she's arrested and dragged into a police car still clutching the Torah. There is something wrong in a land where corruption is so endemic and prime ministers and presidents, and notice the plural of both, prime ministers and presidents, are indicted. for crimes that we would be scandalized if we would discover were committed by our own officials. There's something wrong when 100,000 ultra-Orthodox take to the streets to defy the rulings of the Supreme Court about education. There's something wrong. There's a problem in Israel when there is an increasing gap between the rich and the poor, and the middle class is disappearing, and poverty is on the rise in a state that has so much wealth. And I say that because we are called to be witnesses first and foremost against ourselves. And we don't do that because we are so sensitive to the criticism of the world. But you know what happens to a person or to a people that is incapable of criticizing itself. It doesn't make them safer and it doesn't make them grow. Just look at the Bible. Every other page is a criticism of Israel. And it's all enunciated by Jews. But we also know that the great threats to the state of Israel are from outside, not from inside. We know that it would be miraculous if the state of Israel were healthy, given the constant, unrelenting pressure and hatred that it has faced. We know that it is practically impossible to raise a healthy family in a hostile neighborhood. And Israel lives in a very hostile neighborhood. Because we know that part of our task as witnesses is to witness what is happening to us, to the world, even if it will not listen. Because we have discovered a great and sad truth as we look back on Jewish history, which is that the enemies of Israel sooner or later become the enemies of the world. Yes, it is possible that first they will come for the Jews, but they won't stop there. The Nazis didn't stop there. The Soviet Union didn't stop there, and radical Islam does not stop there. And if I can take an ugly and more trivial example, somebody one day must explain to me why it is that when someone like Mel Gibson spews anti-Semitic venom year after year, his movies sell, his people stay with him, but when the day comes that he abuses the woman with whom he has a child, all of Hollywood says, now he's off limits. Because I could have told you, and in fact I did tell you, and I didn't have to tell you because you knew, that someone who has that kind of hatred for the Jews has that kind of hatred, period. That sooner or later, hatred will overspill its boundaries. And that someone who directs his or her or their poison at the Jews will not end with us. It's why people have called the Jewish people the canary in the coal mine, because you know the canary with its limited lung power, when lethal gas leaks into the coal mine, the canary dies so that the miners know before it affects them that there's a dangerous condition. But I don't like that analogy, because the canary dies. Let me give you a different analogy. We are the sentinels in the watchtower. We see farther because the hatreds of the world, for some inexplicable reason, touch us first. And so we cry out. And if you were in synagogue this past Shabbat, you heard this exact analogy in the Haftorah, Al Chomotayech Ir David, Hivkadati Shomrim, Kol Hayom V'Kol Halayla. On your walls, City of David, I have placed watchmen, sentinels, all day and all night. And that's what we are supposed to be. We're supposed to remember that God called us to be witnesses. We're supposed to testify to the world. We're supposed to point the finger and say, this hatred will not end with us. When the Jewish people does something wrong, we're supposed to point the finger and say, we shouldn't be doing that. We're better than that. It's not just the prophets who are witnesses. In fact, the great scholar Yecheskel Kaufman says that's one of the things that distinguishes the Bible, is God never sends prophets to the nations to tell them to stop sinning. Except for Jonah, and he doesn't say anything about idolatry. He doesn't say anything about false worship. He just tells them, be better people. Why? Because, says Kaufman, Edim Atem, all of Israel are supposed to be witnesses, not just the prophets, the child in the street. Everyone is supposed to be a witness. Against each other, against ourselves, against the world, and in fact, for each other and for ourselves and for the world. You know, when you recite the Shema, if you look at it in the Torah, the last line of Shema, the Ayin, the last letter rather, the Ayin, is large, and so is the last letter of Echad, the Dalid, and together they spell Ed, which means witness. Sometimes it's obvious and it's clear. When you get something despicable, like the cover of Time magazine, which features a Magen David of all things and says, why Israelis don't care about peace. When you and I know that every family sends their children to the army and stays up at night, that witness is easy. We understand that. But we also have to be sensitive to more delicate nuances of Israel's delegitimation in the world. Let me tell you a remarkable fact that you may not know, but that you should know. Throughout the history of that tiny sliver of land in the Middle East, throughout its occupation by various empires, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Ottomans, the British, on and on. The only time that Israel was ever sovereign, ever, ever in its history, that bit of land, was under the Jewish people. The only time it wasn't part of an empire. So when people say, why should they have a state there? One good answer would be because no one else ever did. Ever. Edim Atem. You're the witnesses. You have to tell the world. They have to know. There's a reason why we have an Israel Center and an Israel Matters Day in which successively on various times we will talk about all the challenges that face Israel and how to answer them. Because Edim Atem, we have to elevate and educate ourselves. It's our job, no one else's. But then we have a third job too, which is we have to be witnesses to the world. I mentioned last night that this Shabbat, Janice Kamener Resnick from Jewish World Watch will be speaking about the work that they do not in Israel, but in the Congo, in Darfur. Where there is suffering, because we are not permitted to be indifferent. Because we cannot indict a world for being indifferent to the sufferings of Jews and then turn around and be indifferent to the sufferings of other human beings. About a month ago, I got an email out of the blue from a man named Robert Engel. He's stationed in Afghanistan. And he wanted me to know that he listens to the sermons along with this small group of Jewish soldiers in Kabul. And he wanted to know if we could send him material for the high holidays because they want to prepare their services. And we've been in correspondence ever since he sent his kids to Camp Ramah. And we've been sending them material, so now they're singing Friday Night Live in Kabul. And I thought to myself, here is a Jew with a small group of Jews that has gone to a nearly God-forsaken corner of this world to save Muslims from the cruelty of radical Muslims. Al chomotayech ir David hivkadati shomrim. We're witnesses. Not only to what we do, and not only to what the world does to us, but sometimes to what the world is doing to each other. And we may not like that job, and it may not be a pleasant job, but it is an important job, and it is our job. And the extent to which we don't pay attention, and we are sunk in our comfortable lives and we forget the sufferings of people in the world is the extent to which we have betrayed the God who gave us that message. There are no proofs for the God of Abraham, said Heschel. But there are witnesses. I can't diagram it on a board, but I know how we should live it. What we have given to the world, the prophets and preachers and sages and teachers and poets and visionaries, all of them witnesses, because we are not permitted to keep silent. So here's a story. Reb Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev used to tell this story on Rosh Hashanah. He said, once there was a king, and the king had vast territory, and one day he decided to go exploring in his forests. And he wandered and wandered until he was lost. And he came upon a small enclave, a little village in the forest of peasants, and he asked them how to get home, and none of them recognized that he was the king. And none of them knew how to get back to the palace until he came upon one villager who seemed a little bit more savvy, a little bit more aware, and in fact, this villager recognized that he was talking to the king. And the king said to him, can you show me the highway? And the villager said, no, I'm not going to just show you the highway. I will take your hand and I will lead you back to the palace. And so they walked back together. And as they were about to part, the king looked at him and said, you know, I want you by me always. Come, join me in the palace. Take off your peasant garb. We will put it aside, and I will dress you in the robes of a minister. And so he did. And the man rose by virtue of his native talent until he was the prime minister next to the king. But he had begun as a peasant. And the truth is that the goods of the palace, they dazzled him. And the intrigues of the court confused and befuddled him, and soon he was caught up in plots, and he betrayed the king. And the king found out, and brought him on trial for treason. And the day that he was to be sentenced, he was granted one wish. And this is what he asked for. He asked to be restored to his peasant garb and to come before the king as the king first knew him. And when he did, and the king saw him as he once was, he remembered his goodness, and he pardoned him and saved him. Now, said the Berdichev Rebbe, Israel is the peasant, and God is the king. And God went to all the nations, and none of them recognized him, but we did. And we promised God that we would hold his hand. But he said again and again, we get seduced by the goods of the world. We are led astray, and we forget that we are supposed to be ministers to the king. But then comes Rosh Hashanah. And we come before God and we say, listen to the shofar, and it will remind you how we first came to you at Sinai. And you will remember who we are, and maybe we'll remember who we are as well. That we are your ministers and we are your witnesses. That we are not supposed to lose ourselves in the goods of the world, but rather to devote ourselves to the good of the world. To remember that we are an ancient people and we know what is right. And we know what is evil. Kol omer kra, says Isaiah, a voice says cry out. And so when we look at our own sins, we cry out. When we see the cruelty and prejudice of the world directed against us, we cry out. And when we see the cruelty of the world against itself, it is our job to witness and cry out. Because although they may not know it, in saving Zion, in witnessing, in crying out, we are serving the one who took our hand so many thousands of years ago. And in saving ourselves as a people, we are saving God's world. Edim Atem, God says to all of us, you are my witness. Don't forget. Because if you forget, I have no witnesses left in this world who remember the time at Sinai, who listen to the shofar, who understand the sanctity of our mission. In saving ourselves, in raising ourselves, in restoring ourselves to the mission that we were given, we help heal God's broken world. Al Chomotayach, we are the sentinels in the watchtower. We must never, never be silent. Shana Tova.